go into evil as the antithesis of human flourishing. This is kind of a looking at the idea that a lot of people have of this utilitarianism of, you know, if it brings the most common good to all people or the most amount of people, then it's good. That's but right. if it hurts That's... people, then it's evil. Okay. So biblical morality has pervasive implications for our well-being, both as individuals and as a collective society. We rarely isolate evil merely as a personal problem. You know, oh, someone committed murder. Okay, well, why is it the state of Michigan versus whoever?
Right.
Well, because society has collectivized that as a wrong against yeah. society as well yeah. as the person.
Right.
Whether right or wrong, I'm just saying that that's a
that's the way
a,
we do it.
Yeah. A thing that's done.
Yeah.
So we see it as a social phenomenon that's always exacerbates the problem of evil. Pervasive evil is never far from each one of us because each of us expresses it in our relationships to everyone around us. Again, we're the source of the evil. We're the ones that have only ourselves to blame here. And it's the result of a fall.
Right. So this moral evil is relational.
Right.
Right? We don't necessarily keep it to ourselves. It affects us as well as God,
right.
our relation to God.
Yeah. You know, we don't invent the car or the transparent or the iron lung or some sort of medical advancement just to use on our own. We do, you know, a common good by sharing it out with other people. And so there we're aiding in human flourishing. Biblical theodicy will be one that restores peace. It will highlight reconciliation and redemption. It will restore the shalom between God and man, between man and man, between man and creation. All those things are things that that the biblical Christian worldview promises as an end result.
Right. What about evil as privation of good? Right now, he talks here.
That's good. I had a lot of good highlights in this part.
He talks here about three historical Christian figures: Saint Augustine, Saint Anselm, and Thomas Aquinas.
Right.
Right, and he says they all three wrestled with this—the nature of evil in a world created by God. Of pristine goodness, a question arose concerning the metaphysical nature of evil. And they argued that evil does not have the properties of being. It is without substance. It is non-being, he
yeah.
tells us, right? So this is the evil as conceived as a privation is what the word they right. use.
Corruption.
That's right. Refers to a deficiency, a corruption, a decay, distortion, disorder, a, you know, deprivation of some good feature that God created a thing to naturally possess, mm-hmm. right? So, you know, it's something that has gone wrong with the way things ought to be. It is a deprivation of the supreme goodness and beauty of God himself. So there's no such thing as, for instance, we might say coal. It's only lowering degrees of heat.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Or maybe even the complete lack of
right.
it. Right. Or death is not the opposite of life, but it's a privation of life, or perhaps of cloth. We might say can exist without a hole, but the hole cannot exist without the cloth. Right.
Here's the hole. Right?
Yeah.
The hole in what is yeah. what you would ask.
Right. Right. A shadow is nothing more than the obstruction of light, and no light, no shadow. So sin, he wants us to see, is a parasite. It's parasitic. And evil takes the form of real defects with real effects. But it gets its power to do anything at all from the reality of the good things that it deforms. So notice, we're not saying that evil doesn't exist.
Yeah, right? Or it's
doesn't
nothing.
Have, or it's right. nothing. Yeah. It has non-existence. No, no, no. It's a privation in terms of it. It's a deficiency in what is good, right? The corruption yeah. of what is good.
And, right? and thus, God cannot be the creator that is the efficient cause of evil. So I thought that was really interesting, really, yeah. really good stuff in this portion here.